Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians who are just trying to figure it out as they make their way through life and comedy and life in general, reporting on their wins, their losses, their draws, their confusing moments, and the thing that just keeps them going, which I guess is just comedy itself.
Comedy, camaraderie, the grind of the whole thing. Yeah, I don't know what it is. What's the magical thing that keeps you going, Matt?
I think it's masochism, I think is what it is. I think it's
simple, simplistic answer, and probably the most accurate that anybody will get. You kind of had to be masochistic to do this thing.
You do. You really do. I am not
by this thing, I mean this podcast.
Yes, exactly. To listen to it, to put it together, to do any of it. Yeah. I am one half of the podcast. I'm Matt Alana Martin, and with me as always is Dwight Simmons. Dwight, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. It's it finally didn't rain for like a single day here in Indianapolis, so got to get outside. Still a little sweaty and dewy. If you're watching on YouTube, you can probably see the drip, but it's good, man. I am enjoying my time at home. All of my shows lately haven't required me to be in the car for like 12 hours at a time. So I've been trying to enjoy it while it lasts. What about you? How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, people that have been listening to the podcast regularly know that I am stepping back a little bit from performing to help out with some family stuff. Yeah, man, it's good. I'm with you. Like, I'm glad that we had some clear weather finally and not just rain all the time. Just hanging out, man.
Just hanging.
I'm not as dewy. I don't know. Like, maybe I just haven't done as much today as you have. I haven't worked up my sweat yet.
Yeah, I got all my steps in.
Okay, that's good.
You got the natural dew, though.
Oh, do I?
You got that natural dew.
Now, is this what the rappers talk about when they talk about the drip? Are they talking about just sweaty pits and like a moist undercarriage? Do you think that's what they talk about?
I feel like you know the answer is no.
If you're not going to allow me to play a character occasionally on the podcast, I don't know if I want to do this.
I wanted to go with you, but then it just got so ridiculous.
Yeah. Was it the use of the word undercarriage? Is that what
finally I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what Lil Baby talks about. So
I know. Yeah.
So maybe? Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. Like,
do you think the phrase undercarriage has ever been used in a hip hop song?
Only by like The Informer, The Snow. Yeah. Only by somebody like that.
Or MC Paul Barman, like a comedy rapper, you know, somebody who is like trying to be silly on purpose, you know. Right. So yeah, could be. Yeah. Yeah. But this is ostensibly, at least on paper, a comedy podcast. So
we get there eventually.
We'll get there. Did you have any shows? You said that you've been close to home lately. Did you have any of those close to home shows this past week?
I did. So I judged the Helium Comedy Finals, the Indianapolis Funniest. What day was that? Sunday? I think it was Sunday. And then I don't think I'll do it again next year. If you've listened to the last couple episodes, it's fine. They it's like, you know, the judges get free food and drinks, and they gave me a gift bag, which is just stuff for Megan, my wife. It was like a bottle of white wine. It was like this like cup with the straw that white women love to use.
The permanent straw. Yeah.
The permanent straw. Yeah. And it was like a specialty popcorn. I was like, this is a white woman's gift bag. This was not personalized at all, but
us hoodies. They gave us like really nice Helium hoodies. One of my favorite hoodies. It's like, it's thin, but it's warm and it needs to be. It's
nice.
I'm not going to say it's performance hoodie material, but it's close to performance hoodie material. So
yeah. We just got t-shirts.
Okay.
We got
downgraded. They're saving a little money this year.
And then a gift card, because you know how comedians want gift cards to the local comedy club where they eat and drink for free and don't pay for tickets.
Already, yeah. No, I got a gift card as well, which I believe I gave to my brother and sister-in-law who live in Indy. I was like, you guys can just have this to use because you're more likely. Yeah, it is an interesting thing with you get to go to the club and hang out for free. Because as comedians, like, do you ever do this? You and Megan ever go as a couple to a show and you're there as a paying customer? Although Megan's also a comedian, so maybe you don't have to ever do this. Yeah.
No, I don't think I've paid for a comedy show, like a strict comedy show, in like a decade.
So over 10 years of not supporting your fellow comedians. Okay, everybody with those door deals, every time you see Dwight hanging out in the bag, just know.
I snuck in free, baby. I've made eye contact with the door guy and said, I'm a comic. I've headlined this club, whether it's true or not.
And most of them, they're like, great, whatever, come on in.
Whatever.
Yeah. But Denise and I will sometimes we'll go to a show, you know, and we'll buy the tickets, you know, to support the acts and the club and everything. And it is weird sitting in the audience when you're used to, even if you're not on the lineup, being in the back of the room with the other comics.
Yeah. You know,
but I'm like now in the middle of the room and I'm ordering, instead of just going in the kitchen and getting it myself, I'm ordering through the servers.
Yeah. They're like, sir, you have one more item.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rules apply to me too when I'm in that role. Yeah. But we've done it for like big things like when Paul Reiser came to the Attic, you know, we did it for that. And then, you know, because it's also there's, you know, Denise, I could get Denise into the Attic for free if I ever wanted to.
Right.
But she's not going to want to stand in the back, you know,
right,
like comics would. So it's worth it. But it is a different experience, you know.
Yeah.
I just saw in the chat, someone was talking about in the Bloomington contest, they were talking about there's a local comedian who sat up front to be a good audience member. And I don't know if I could ever sit up front at a comedy show ever again.
That's when like Cam O'Connor and Willie Bostick came to my special taping. Mm-hmm. They got seated up front. And it was even weird for me seeing them as comics up front. Right.
Yeah.
And like Cam just gave me a shrug, like, I don't know, man. We just got sat here. You know what I mean? Like, that's so, it feels so weird. It's such a unique experience from not being in the back and just talking shit the entire time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but also comics, we don't watch a show in the way that the normal person does. Like if we really like somebody, it's more of like a processing it and then, oh man, that was a really great bit. Like, it's very hard to make comedians laugh. You know, with just regular material. Now, if you're doing super ridiculousness, you know, that's, you know, there's the whole thing that the getting the laughs in the back of the room means that you've now ventured off into like, you know, territory that is just so bizarre and weird that it's making the comics are laughing at the fact that you would be doing the material, not really at the material itself, usually, you know? And so, to have a bunch of stone faced comics just right up front going, oh no, this is good. We're enjoying it.
Yeah,
but no visual cues whatsoever.
Yeah, I see what you're doing there. Yeah, that's a nightmare for everybody involved.
Yeah, and jotting down little notes, you know.
Yeah, it's like thank you for the support, but also sit in the back of the room.
Well, I even told people, like, you know, non-comic, like friends or family members, if they come see me, my one rule is you can't sit in the front row. You can't sit right up front because it's distracting. It's distracting when you know the people. You know, and particularly like if you wanted to do crowd work, you can do crowd work with your cousin, you know,
it's like insanely personal. He's mad.
Yeah. Anybody here ever wet the bed and
until they were 12?
Yeah. Until they're 12 and you just look at them real quick. Anybody ever did that?
That's funny.
So anyway, I don't know how we got into this, but you were judging and
I judged. I enjoyed judging, but I don't like judging my quote unquote peers. I think, you know, career wise, I'm ahead of everybody that was in the contest, but like I still work with these people. I still take a couple of these people on the road. Mm-hmm. They're friends. I booked these people, like, this is not just like, you know, they had a representative from Netflix there. They had like the head of Helium corporate booking was there. And then they're like, here's this guy that you've all worked with, and Wash Bomb as well. So he won't be judging very harshly. So it's the same reason why I don't like being on the Limestone panel. It's like, objectively, I'm going to judge you probably harder if I've seen your act before, rather than being caught off guard. It's like watching someone for the first time versus, oh, I've seen this a million times, so this better be good, or this better be better than, or the best thing I've ever seen. So it's kind of like, it's kind of hard to get out of that mindset to like remain neutral. And the finals were tight, and I'm glad they brought in other judges. So we had a total of like 7 judges.
Okay.
So it took the pressure off.
Right.
But yeah, and I think we got it right. Aisha Brown won. And
okay. Very funny, Aisha. Yeah.
Yeah, she's hilarious. I think she had the best set of the night and was in everyone's top 3. So
that's good. Now, is she going by Aisha Brown now? Did she used to go by Aisha the Entertainer or something like that?
Aisha the comedian.
Yes. Yeah, but she's more straightforward name now.
I dead named her. That's on me.
What?
Aisha the comedian.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, that's okay. Like, it's fine.
I'm joking.
It's public record that she's out there that she used to do that. Yeah.
No, but I think her curious. Facebook name is Aisha Brown, okay, and then she has a Facebook page. Aisha the comedian. Yeah.
Okay, so she's doing both.
Yeah.
Okay. Aisha Brown for those corporate gigs, and Aisha the comedian, you know. For anything else. No, she's very funny. She's like super funny, so that's good. Who else was in how many people were in the finals?
Eight. Eight
that's
people
big,
were in the
that's a big finals group.
And they all did like 9 minutes.
Okay.
And there were some people that probably shouldn't have been in the finals, because the top four, the top half, were really good. Mm-hmm. So I believe it was TJ Wary, who lives in Lafayette now. He's from Detroit, but he had a great set. He finished second. Then Tyson Cox, who finished third for like the fourth consecutive year.
He consistent. You know, that boy consistent. You know,
stay consistent.
He should really call himself Indianapolis's most consistent comedian.
Yeah. Oh, that hurts. That one hurts. That's yeah. So he had to follow Aisha, and I thought he did a good job, but she had just leveled the room. So
right.
He was also Aisha's
pretty dirty. She's pretty dirty.
Very dirty. And then so Tyson comes out like
nerdy-ish, because Tyson's very funny. He's a very funny comic, and he's been a guy that we've seen come up for years, you know, when he was just open micing. We've seen him just get progressively better and better and better, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, he recorded an album, you know, has done a lot of the benchmark stuff. He's a solid comic, so when we kind of like poke fun or whatever, we have to also give respect to him as well.
Yeah,
he's a pal. But yeah, he's a quirkier, nerdier type of comic. And for him to have to follow someone who's super dirty, man, that's just luck of the draw. Yeah.
It's tough. And also, like, it's a shorter set. And Tyson's a pro. Like, if he had 20 minutes to really get him, he probably would have.
Yeah.
But I thought he did a fantastic job digging out of that hole. And so, his first joke landed okay. And then it was just off to the races.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it was very tight. You get 7 judges. So it's, you get a good cross-section of who everyone was digging.
Mm-hmm. And so who was the worst? Who was the worst person that you saw? You already said you're not doing this ever again. Let's just name those names.
Burn it down, baby. There were a couple of people that were just newer, and you could tell.
Yeah.
There were a couple of people that forcibly tried to switch up their sets when they didn't have, like from the semifinals to the finals, when they probably didn't have the time to do so.
Gotcha.
Whereas like the pros were like, I'll give you one or two new ones, but I'm sticking to the hits.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just a read thing where it's like, you know, a couple people were like, I wrote these jokes when I made it to the finals. And
this week. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then, you know, I respect both strategies, but if you don't have the skill set to do that yet, or like the stage time to get in front of a bunch of people before the finals, just stick to the hits, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I think the thinking is they probably mistakenly thought it's gonna be the same judges who saw them in the semifinals, and so they're thinking, well, if I give them all new shit, that's gonna be worth more to them,
right?
And it sounds like only a couple of you were holdover judges, or a bunch of brand new judges who were saying it for the very first time. And then also that idea of like, well, I was just here in this. Well, that doesn't mean everyone in the audience is coming back for the finals, you know?
Right.
We do get in our own heads like that, you know, playing our home clubs or a room that we play all the time and thinking like, oh, I was just here a month ago and I did all this stuff. I don't have anything new. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Like there might be a table or two people who have seen you enough to remember your jokes.
Yeah.
You know, the rest of the room, it's going to be brand new to them. So yeah, in those situations where it really matters, yeah, do the hits. Like when you're in a contest, if you are headlining a room, you know, or you're featuring for the very first time and you got to make a good impression. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do the hits. Switch it up a little bit, you know, from set to set, you know, play with it here and there. But yeah, for the most part, you gotta remember that you're always auditioning for the job that you're currently doing in comedy.
That's true. That's true. Especially like these. So Noah, who works for Bob and Tom, he's the videographer, was taping all these. So it's like, we talk about good tape all the time. Get the same tape twice. But if you got like a professional videographer there, like, and you got the opportunity, just knock it out, man. Knock it out.
Run those hits for sure.
I don't, man. It was good, man. We Dyke Michaels had a good set. He went first, so he did okay. He was probably in that top half group. And then, you know, the audience was pretty tight until halfway through the show. So, you know, these contests that mean the world to you when you're in them, it's like so many things can go sideways or wrong or like, I don't know. You could follow a dirty comic as a clean comic. The crowd could be off that night. They could just not be vibing with you. So, one of the judges couldn't like the way you were dressed. So,
It could be a lot of things. Yeah. I mean, but the thing to think to kind of keep in mind is, and I'm not trying to discredit all contests or things like this, but at the end of the day, if you're really trying to do this for real, whether or not you won Indiana's Funniest Contest down the road shouldn't really matter. And it shouldn't be that big of a, you know, there are credits that we get early on in our career that we stop using.
Yeah.
You know, and that would be one of them. You know, I remember working with Adam Caton Holland, you know, the very first time I ever met him, I was featured for him in Toledo and he was headlining. And we get there, the posters up are listing the fact that he won some contest in Denver. And he's like, nobody here gives a shit. Like,
Nobody cares
that I won a contest in Denver. He's like, I'm currently on a sitcom on ABC. It's like, why would they use this as the credit? You know,
that's so funny.
But, you know, and I'm sure when he won that contest in Denver is a big deal for him or whatever. But that's just to anyone who maybe didn't class, because like, have you ever won one of these contests? I've never won one of these contest things.
No, not one that paid money for real. Like early on, there would be like these little pop-up contests that, you know, it meant the world because I was like, I won a damn contest. And then I would hold up my little bowling trophy or whatever, the 4x3 trophy. I don't know why I said 4x3, they're on my mind. The production company that shot my special. This very tiny little stat. I don't know. We did the one in Indianapolis together where it was hosted by a DJ.
Yeah.
And I think I won bottle service.
Yeah,
and I won like the tiniest trophy you've ever seen in your life, and it was like clearly made from a fantasy football website. Yeah. It was so bad, but at the time I was like, "I'm the best, baby! Yeah. I'm the best."
Yeah. Now, did you have that in your bio for a while that you won that contest?
I don't think so.
I think you probably did because why wouldn't you? I think when we were starting off and like, because you would include I've seen people put like,
I think I was a finalist
in some like little rinky dink contest because again,
yeah,
when you don't have any credits, you don't have like a national credit. You don't have anything like that. You know, you're not on Sirius yet. You haven't done, you know, Hulu or whatever. You don't have any credits, then the baby credits look good. You know, it's like, it's something you can put in there, you know?
Well, by that logic, that contest should still be in my bio.
Now come on now.
So you think you got mass appeal?
Yeah.
What year was it? 2013 or 14?
It's hard to think it was even that late. I feel like it feels like 50 years ago that we did that. but what I'm saying is like to anyone listening, I'm not trying to bag on these contests. Like I understand it's a big deal when you win one. It should feel good. I'm just trying to offer solace to people who maybe don't haven't won one, you know,
yeah,
or maybe didn't even make it to the finals. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. And that's the thing Jerry Thompson always tells the finalists at the Attic for their contest. It's like, none of this matters.
Yep.
Just go have fun. Like, this doesn't matter.
For
like,
sure.
It, you know,
care a lot while you're in it and then let it go.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Whether you win or lose, care a lot, try hard, and then when it's over, move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
You can't,
you know, the thing going back to Tyson, you know, so this is the third year that he's coming to third place, and so there's some numerology there happening. I like that. 3-3, mm-hmm. the power of three, you know. But also, you know, Ty Cobb used to always hit in the park home runs.
Okay.
Because he's hitting an actual home run was too easy. So maybe that's all Tyson's doing. Maybe Tyson and Ty Cobb are exactly the same. Maybe Tyson's also a horrible racist.
The similarities are baffling. Oh my God, I can't get past them.
Tyson, I love you. We're just playing around. Okay.
Right. Speaking of racist, I went to Dayton, Kentucky and saw, I don't know if you saw my Instagram post, but I saw the funniest collection of bumper stickers on a pickup truck as soon as I got into Kentucky. Mm-hmm, it was like, I could not believe how fast it was. But he had like the Trump 2020 sign, like it's like he's gonna go back in time. It's like, can mm-hmm. we get that one off? Trump 20, it's 2023, dog. The dude's not coming back to 2020 at least. And then they had like the Punisher logo.
Oh, of course.
With Donald Trump's like hair on top of it. And I'm like, that's out, like, oh my God, this guy's merch game is outrageous. Like, I almost got in a wreck trying to make sure I got a picture. And then the other one goes against all enemies, foreign and Democrat.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Foreign
good.
And Democrat. And I was like, yep. We so in Kentucky, baby.
What did he think of your show?
I did try to bark him in.
Yeah,
did you? Try to bark him in. So I did the Commonwealth Sanctuary. Mm-hmm. It was my first time there. It's a new show. Oh my God, I fell in love with that place. It's really nice. Like, it's in a kind of like a residential neighborhood. It's a dope refurbished church, which I really appreciate. I really like turning these churches into just temple. Like, you walk in and then there's like a bar where they have like their taps. I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And very lowly attended. Mm-hmm. So what I said last week about the promotion aspect was accurate. And they mm-hmm. listened and they said, yep, you nailed it. So I think we ended up like 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
The way the show was set up was perfect. And it was done with like so much intention. You could tell that they've gone to different comedy clubs and just taken what they like or what works. Mm-hmm. Because in the showroom, it's silent ordering. So mm-hmm. the thing where you write something down and then put it in the little stand and then somebody comes. But before the show, even that, they have a giant projector where they're showing clips of who's coming,
mm-hmm.
Coming up soon, which is something that the Attic does.
Right.
A couple other really good clubs do that. And what that does is it, one, it's self-promotion. It's the best mm-hmm. way to promote what you have going on. And two, it gets the audience primed to laugh already because you're showing them jokes before you even bring up the host.
Showing them jokes and not a bunch of like funny viral videos, which is what the Looney Bin and Little Rock would do.
God.
Which I was always so insane to me because like, on one hand, I'm like, okay, I get it. These are quote unquote comedy videos, mm-hmm. but it's all people like getting hit in the nuts or falling over or like a kid like saying a dirty word. You know, it's not stand up. It's like, this is not getting anyone ready to listen to someone monologue. You
right.
know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Nathan and Yacoba, who started the Commonwealth Sanctuary, I've known them forever. Nathan and I used to play music together, actually, way back in the day.
Yeah.
And they were in Bloomington for a long time. And so they were Attic regulars. And so they definitely there. And I know that when they moved to Dayton and they bought that building and a couple other buildings to kind of rehab and turn into businesses, they started going to Go Bananas a lot. They started mm-hmm. like they definitely started really doing their research. And then also bringing in Sean Braley as the third partner in that venture. Like, I you know, they've told me also, like, numbers have been kind of low. And I get it. It's a new business. It's a very small town.
It's also summertime. End of summer. You know, like, I understand. Yeah,
everybody's on the lake or in the river or whatever. So,
right.
But I'm not surprised that they were doing everything right. I'm very excited and looking forward to it because I'm going to be there this Friday, and I don't like to be competitive, but I am going to shoot for 11 people. I'm going to one more than you had, Dwight. Let me see if we can make it happen.
That would be, I'm rooting for you.
Thank you.
I don't think your door deal won't go up, so I'll just sneak in and say, I've headlined this club.
Yeah.
But, like, man, it was so fun. I had such a fun time. Gretchen, I'm blanking her last name. I'll look it up. But she is from Cincinnati, and she's newer, but she had a fantastic host set. Mm-hmm. And then my little baby boy, Zach Wycuff, my little Christian virgin. It was just fantastic, contagious energy. He's so funny.
I love that. Like, people that have any context who Zach is and don't realize that he talks about those two things in his set, it just makes it sound like you're just dogging on him. Oh, look at my little Christian virgin. Oh, look at little Christian virgin baby. Oh,
he is legitimately a Christian virgin.
Yes. Yeah. He talks. So, you know, I think it's all an act. I think he out there. You got the sneaky.
Have you spoken to him? That's not an act.
No, he stays in character. He stays in character. And then
it's also like the backdrop of it being a church. So it's perfect for that. Extra funny. But man, he had a great set. And then it's just like the best 10 people you could ask for. And then, you know, the entire staff like filled in the audience because they care. They give a shit. Which was really meaningful. And it helped the show. And I had a fantastic time. I probably went over my time. I think I did 50 to 55. Just messing around. That the way that the room's set up, I think it has incredible potential.
They've got some really big names coming in too. Like, I mean, I know Brad Winslow was there, I think, the day after you, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they're getting in some bigger names. Marcella Arguella is going to be there. So they've got some kind of bigger names already kind of like going to come in, which I think is going to help put it on the map a little bit. You know, I think they've got Jeff Tate coming. So, people that have dedicated fan bases that they can start to draw them there. So to help them discover it will help, you know?
Yeah. I also think once enough comics do it, that the word will get out and more and more great comics will do it. Yeah, and I'm sure they're already starting to get hit up like crazy.
Oh, they have to be. Yeah.
You're going to have a blast. Yeah. When's the last time you did 45? Was it 2 weeks ago?
I was supposed to, and then I had to cancel that one show, which even that would have just been 30 because it was co-headlining. Let me look at my calendar here. I'm trying to be mindful of it this week and get ready, you know, at least mentally. Yeah. I did look at my set list today and kind of think about some things. So I think it was the end of July when I headlined the small room in Helium. Yeah. So it's, you know, that's been 3 weeks ago. So
yeah,
I'm due. It's good.
Yeah. It's weird. Like jumping back into it like that. Mm-hmm.
Pretty confident. I mean, I'm feeling a little bit confident now. I don't want to get overly confident, but it had been almost a month before those Helium shows.
Yep.
And so, you know, I just took a set list up with me, just a safety net thing, you know?
Yep.
But I didn't, by the second show, I didn't need it, you know, because it does come back pretty quick.
Right.
I'm feeling like it'll be fine. I'll have my set list up there. I'll run through some stuff tomorrow it should be okay. And also the drive. I'm a big person of like, I have like literally like a little like chip clip type thing where I can clip a set list up on my car's sort of like mantle or whatever, like the dashboard.
Yeah.
So like right below my GPS holder, my phone GPS holder, I can clip at the set list there. So I can kind of just run the set while I'm driving a long distance.
Yeah.
And just kind of like make sure I'm not jumping chunks or anything like that. And this is going to be important because I am going to try to do something that I haven't thought about doing for a long time, but I've been too chicken to do it, which is, you know, I'd started working on this new hour with the closer being about my mom passing away and that kind of that story about like being, you know, stepping up and being more of a primary caregiver at the end and things like that. I think I'm actually going to open with that.
Yeah.
Because in my head, I've started to think of like, what if I opened with that and then found ways to transition out into other material that's still reflected back in some way? So we're going to see how it goes. It may be a terrible decision. So, you know.
It's exciting, though. I think that's an old trick that comics use, especially like if it's a super strong joke.
Yeah.
Like start with like what used to be your closer and then go into something new.
Yeah.
Early and just like reverse engineer it that way is a.
Yeah, it's not fully. I mean, it's the thing that I know that Louis would always talk about when we were allowed to listen to him talk about comedy, is that he would always start every new hour by coming out and opening with the last hour's closer.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had to like write something stronger, like he had to get better now. This wasn't the closer on the last record, but I had already sort of earmarked it as being the closer and been putting a lot of work on it.
Mm-hmm.
And originally the idea was I was going to write backwards from it. How do I get to this?
Right.
But now I think it might be more interesting to just open with it. So we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The tinkering begins.
The tinkering begins.
You're going to have a blast. I really think you're going to enjoy it because it's a dope ass room. And I had a goddamn blast as well. So
looking forward to it. Where are you going to be this week? That's where I'm going to be on Friday. If anybody wants to buy tickets, if you want to help me get to that number of 11 people, you can just Google my name and Commonwealth Sanctuary and it'll pop up. You can buy those tickets. But what about you, Dwight? Where are you going to be at this week?
I have nothing until Friday, the 25th. Okay. I'll be in Chicago at On Tour Brewing. That's my show. You can get tickets on Eventbrite or at DwightSimmons.com. That's always a fun show. We usually did it on Thursday nights, but they gave us a Friday because it's been going so well. So don't embarrass me, greater Chicago land. Come out and support your boy. It should be fun. But yeah, that's all I got.
Okay.
But I do have a question from an anonymous asker.
Mm-hmm.
And once I read the question, you'll know why it's anonymous. But I think it's something that we've all gone through. What is your best way or trick to snap yourself out of a quote unquote bombing slump? Let's say your last three shows have just been terrible.
For example, you're doing the Looney Bins in Wichita. I can keep touching. Or for you, you've been performing in Michigan.
Yes. What's the best way not to jump into Lake Michigan?
Our kryptonites. Each of our kryptonites.
Okay. So I think it helps to define what a bomb is for you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to start with that and we'll give it a go?
Well, I think what's always tricky is, a bomb. I think we often feel like we're bombing when we're not bombing. We're just having a mediocre set.
Mm-hmm.
We're having an okay set. It's going fine, but it's not going great. It's not doing particularly well. And so in our heads, when we're up there, we're like, oh, I'm eating shit. This is a bomb, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is another good reason to always record everything, even if it's not video recording, audio recording your sets and then listening back. And the key is always to give yourself a day so you wake up in a different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, at least, if I listen to it immediately after the set, I'm in the exact same mindset. It's going to sound exactly like it felt. But if the next day I listen back to it or I watch the video, I'm like, that's fine. It's fine. It wasn't great, but it was a solid B, you know?
Right.
And this is just same is true the other way around, where you like feel like you're crushing it. And he walks you back and you're like, it was all right.
That was a B.
So yeah, exactly. So I think having like make sure that you're actually getting good accurate information to yourself on mm-hmm. how the shows are actually going. But if it is like just you are struggling and you're bombing, it happens. People hit plateaus, they hit weird, like your energy is off. I think that's the only way you can really describe it. It's like mm-hmm. You can be in a lot of rooms where you're not going to be loved because of your material. I went through it, particularly the last year that I was drinking, and when my drinking got out of control was because I was on the road a lot doing a lot of like one-nighters and getting paired with a lot of headliners who I hated their material. The material was like sexist and racist and homophobic and all this kind of like very reductive and kind of stuff. And, you know, the audience who was there for them wasn't loving me, you know? So sometimes it can be like, you're just the wrong fit for the room, you know? And I was not a pro yet enough to figure out how to do that, how to flip those rooms, you know, and convert them. And I still can't do it every time, but I have a better success rate now of like, no, I'm going to get you to see the way that I see things, you know, from being a better writer and better, you know, performer. But man, when it's just bomb after bomb after bomb, it can feel crushing, you know? And I think you just have to understand that like everybody goes through this. Everybody goes through rough patches where your energy is not correct and you're not connecting in the way that you want to. And so much of it is that people forget that, man. Like they think it's just the writing and the jokes. And that if you do your blocking and your timing correctly, you know, nah, man, there's a whole undescribable, you know, third thing that's happening out there, which is you pushing your energy into that room and connecting with people and them being willing to receive it, you know. That's like the magic of it. And so for me, I think that the way that I've gotten at it is to take a break. Like if I'm in a real slump and I keep trying to push through it and I'm going to mics and trying new material, like if I'm gonna be in that off energy, the only way I can get that energy back is to step away and take a break from comedy.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether that's a week, you know, and because there's such a, you know, the one of the main problems with our industry, particularly at a lower level, is this grind culture mentality that if you're not going out every night and you're not doing a mic and you're not doing a show, then you ain't working. Dude, that shit. That shit can be almost as more damaging sometimes than it is productive, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think taking a break is a big one. Set your current set aside, either write some fresh stuff to come back with or bring back something that you've retired for a while and have fun with it and just go up and have fun, because it all just sort of gets lobbed in together. Like if you're like, oh, this is my tight 10 and it's been working and then it stopped working, we'll just set it aside for a while, you know?
Yeah.
And then you start bringing it back in sprinkles or whatever. But to me, the number one thing is to, you got to take a break. You got to step away from it. You got to do non-comedy things. Don't take a break and still go to shows all the time and watch specials all the time. Just fucking forget about comedy for a minute.
Yeah.
Watch movies that you're into, listen to music that you're into, like go to an art museum, look at art, get outside, you know, go exercise, just try to do things to regenerate your soul. And then that will bleed through and show up in the comedy and you'll get it back. That's my belief anyway. What about you? What do you do when you get into those ruts?
I dig your definition of what a bomb is. I agree. It's typically not as bad, but like part of doing this is that it doesn't matter because when you write and when you are trying to get in the mindset to perform, if you have that mindset that, oh, my last four shows have been shit, it doesn't really matter what the reality is. That part of the mental aspect is the mental game is paramount. So I like to find ways to manipulate that, especially if it's a time of year where you can't step back. Let's say you booked a bunch of shows and you can't really step back and you got to like quick fix it. I think what you said, like in a, you know, a miniature way, find a way to go out and live your life and not obsess about the set. Go see a movie that day, like where you have, like, you have to focus. I love going to see movies on the road because that's 3 hours where I have to focus on something else. Like I'm not sending my avails. I'm not like rewriting, not listening to my voice over and over again. The second thing I like to do is to talk about it. So I love the fact that, like what you said, this happens to everybody. So you will find people or other comics that this has happened to that will think it's funny, make fun of you.
Yeah.
And then maybe you can take a step back like, oh shit, maybe I'm taking this too seriously. Because I think when you start like pressing, the audience can read that.
Oh yeah.
And it comes through so obviously. So just finding a way to like lighten the set a little bit.
Yeah.
And if it, you know, a lot of times it is, I need to make fun of myself and I need to snap back into why did I start doing this? Because it was fun. should be fun for me and the audience. Even something like that could really change your energy on stage and throughout a set. I also like, what else was I going to say? Yeah, I mean, you have to, it's not all just take a break. Sometimes it is, you need to buckle down, study, analyze, record, and like hit the gas pedal. There has to be like a happy balance, because at the end of the day, if you want to do this for work, you can't skip the work aspect of it.
Right. Well, I would think too, also, yeah, I mean, take the break that I said, if you have the luxury of doing that. But if you do have a bunch of book shows that you still have to do, I think you can take a break from that set that like, this is the order it goes into. And it, like you said, make it fun again. You know, we've talked about this a couple times on the podcast, like switch up your order.
Yeah.
Just do something to it.
Like what you just said.
It's make you be back on your toes a little bit, you know, and so, and having fun with it. That will change the energy in the way that you present. If you're changing what you're opening with everything, then the rest can follow. It's going to feel fresh to you. It's not going to be, because I think a lot of times the time we bomb is, like you said, is the audience can smell it on you, that you're just in robot mode, even if you don't think you are. You're just like that, you know, and it's just like, by switching things up or changing how you get into your opening joke, that can go a long way for sure. But yeah, let's also not do the work. If you're bombing and this is with stuff that doesn't have a track record yet, maybe you need to go in and rewrite, you know, take those jokes apart and punch them up, or do some editing and things like that. You know, if you have a long track record of these bits working, these bits always worked, and they just stop working, which happens sometimes, you know, that's one thing. But if it is a bunch of new stuff that you think is great, but you're eating shit with it over and over and over again, you need to really take a look at it and see what needs to be cut, what needs to be kept, what needs to be rewritten, you know. So every instance is going to be different. But to the anonymous person who asked that question, it happens. And hopefully one of these techniques that we've mentioned will help you get out of it.
Yeah. I love you talk about Oklahoma City, or like going at least for a lot of the year.
Not Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City was great for me.
Oh, what'd you say? Which one? Which
Wichita and Little Rock.
Wichita will make you quit.
Yeah.
You got to get in on Wednesday to close the open mic, and then you got to go through Sunday and like just battle, beaten, worn down. I do like that for most of the year, you can get outside and like walk, or like go run. And I think which one is the condo, like you leave a neighborhood and then you're just on a highway? I hate that. It's like, man,
it kind of sounds like the Little Rock one, I think. Yeah, because the Wichita one is the condos in the back of the same building.
Okay. Yep.
And it's like in that, like kind of like,
that's right,
downtown. So Little Rock is, you come out of that subdivision and within like 30 seconds you're on the expressway.
It sucks. It's like, I remember, I think I went with Brent the first year, and I obviously didn't have a car. So I was like walking around, and then I walked outside of the subdivision, and it's just like Burger King and Dunkin' Donuts and a Shell gas station. I was like, I'm in hell.
Everything you need. What you talking
Everything
about?
Everything I need. Yeah. Come on. For 6 days.
Yep.
God. Yeah, that, I don't know, man. Like, that's a whole different episode. How do you mentally escape without just like staying in the condo? Which some people like to do.
Some people love to stay in the condo. I will say that the Wichita condo, it had no windows. And those rooms are the darkest rooms that you'll ever be in. So I slept so good every time I was at the Wichita condo, which, you know, I needed, because I was struggling on stage. So
you can just walk, you wake up, shower, walk, not outside, just down a hallway, and then you're in the comedy club.
Yeah.
That's great.
Which makes, it's ideal for like when you do eat shit and you just immediately just walk back to the condo. Like when there's a headliner on, you're featuring, and you're like, I'm just going right back to bed.
That's so funny. Yeah. I'm going right back to bed. Wake me up when it's time to go.
Waiting for the late show. Yeah.
Exactly. That's so funny.
And just repeat. Yeah. I don't know. Let's see if there's anything else we wanted to touch upon. This is like, can we get into some comedy gripes? Can we do a quick comedy gripe session to wrap up
this episode? It wouldn't be Matt and Dwight without a comedy gripe.
This is like, and I understand that this is something that also comes with experience and knowing, but I did see a post on social media by somebody who is a newer comic, and they are starting to get a few things, right? They're starting to get a few, like, and I mean the smallest of things. They're starting to get on a couple of, like, you know, 10 comics showcases on a Tuesday, you know, in the basement of a gas station, you know, like they're getting in, like, you know, but they're starting to get like little tiny things, right? And they just had this swaggery ass like post because I guess apparently somebody was like complimented them. Somebody complimented them.
Okay.
And was like, oh, you're funny, you know, and they took it the wrong way.
Oh man.
As being a condescending thing from what I gathered from the post, it was somebody who was more established in their scene, and they're like, oh, so now I'm worth something because you think you're funny. Like, it was just kind of like, I always been funny. And here's the thing is, I've seen that person and they've not always been funny. and here's the other thing is, all of us start like that. All of us start bad. Like, the fact that they started bad is they weren't worse than anybody else starting, you know? But like, it was just one of these things like, oh, you are still way too green to be kind of throwing this sort of.
Oh, I love this.
Heart pride, like sort of. Swaggery, like I'm the shit thing, because it kind of like we're talking about how, what, you know, you know, do you have mass appeal content? Winning the do you have mass appeal contest, like a few years down the road is the credit that you don't use anymore.
Right.
The shows that this person is starting to get on now will be shows that they can stay in this and continue to get better, and they actually start to do this as a job, will be shows that they won't even do anymore because they're like, I'd rather have a Tuesday night off.
Yeah,
the things that think like seem like they're so big right now to them,
right?
You just be like, and so it's just like you got to have some like sort of macro perspective. You got to pull out from yourself a little bit.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, it's just kind of like, ooh.
Also, find friends to do this to. Like, nobody's gonna want to book you.
It doesn't have to be publicly. Yeah,
God,
on social media.
My God, like I've probably had a outrageous ego after winning a contest in Mishawaka, Michiana, and then following it up with, so you think you got mass appeal? I was like, this is
that was really when you that was when you peaked. That was your big year, man.
It really was. It was a big year. Bought an underdog shirt and everything. Don't do this.
I remember I remember your underdog shirt. I remember you used to wear that. I remember that.
Oh yeah. That was about more than comedy. That was a lot of things going sideways in life at the time.
Then you got into therapy. You're like, maybe I don't need this underdog shirt.
Yeah.
So
much. Yeah. I was like, I never watched the show. Just, but yeah, you don't have to, I don't know. Does anything matter? This is like bravado. Like, this is like very political inside.
It's just not comedy. A good look. It's just not a good look, is all I'm saying. And it's one of those things, like, on one hand, yes, I kind of like self-love. Yes, you are, like, I guess, feeling yourself. You're standing up for yourself to a certain context. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm willing to bet they didn't say shit to the person in real time to their face.
Right.
You know.
It's always that.
They posted about it. And it's just like, that's not the best look. And it's just one of those things of, like, having made those mistakes, you know, as younger comics and stuff. Like, you look at me like, oh, that's... You know, young blood. That's not the best.
This isn't hip hop. Okay, you don't have to be Tupac. Hit 'em up.
Oh yeah.
You don't have to. It's not battle rap. Like everybody, you are going to need help eventually in this. So if you start burning bridges as soon as you start getting shit, like you can't do this.
Yeah, we've seen some people do that, and then it's weird how they don't get much anything else after that.
I don't know. Yeah, next year it's like, I don't know why I can't get booked.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's not just limited to comics too, because there's also like, there's people on the other side. There's people at all different levels in this industry that love to pretend like they're, you know, doing something bigger than they are, you know, like, you know, maybe you're a club owner that books a, you know, tiny club that pays the headliner's feature pay, but you still get on social media and brag about how important you are and compare yourself to like legendary, you know, industry people. You
we
know,
just like talked you about vague like a booking.
Bud Friedman.
Matt just talks about vague posting.
Like, this is vague potting. This is vague casting. This is completely different.
But my point is not that vague.
Listen to the Patreon. We'll have to say all the names. We name the names on the Patreon.
Oh, I love it. But I can't work that club either. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, should we just say it? I mean, I haven't sent my bills.
No, because I don't want to edit it out when you text me in a half hour. But yeah, I don't like. Yeah. Also, pay people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, we out here trying to eat.
We're trying to go see movies so we can get out of our bombing slumps. You know what
I mean? One more quick one. A friend of the pod, Peter Hines, texted about shirt merchandise, which proving that he does not listen to the podcast as we've talked about it.
It's okay.
But don't buy shirts unless you're consistently headlining. You like have a car and you don't mind, like, if you can like sell a bunch of shirts, buy shirts, like it's going to pay off. If you're Brent Terhune or like a name that people come to see, shirts can really make a profit for you. Otherwise, go smaller.
Your merch.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that it's a much bigger gamble. Yes, you have to have a car. Because flying with shirts is just not feasible.
Yeah.
But I've had shirts that were, you know, when I was working primarily as a feature, that did okay. They definitely were worth it, but it is a much bigger pain in the ass than going smaller with like a koozie or something like that. I don't want to completely say no shirt. If you have an amazing shirt design like that's going to crush and you know it's going to sell a ton, but the problem is there's no way to know that until you invest thousands of dollars in shirts, you know, and so to get stuck with them, you know,
it's tough.
Yeah, like you can walk away from a couple $100 that you invest in koozies that don't move, but yeah, when you sunk $2,000 into shirts and then they're not moving, that's rough. You know,
or you just hate that joke.
you hate that joke.
Yeah, I did a run of koozies, a very short turnaround time, easy to proof. My last batch of shirts took almost 6 weeks to get here. So just think about that. Like
That's the other thing is like the supply chain is way longer to get your shirts in. You have to deal with all the sizes, which is a nightmare. Like I'm selling through probably the last shirt that I'll ever do, right?
Yeah.
And I think right now I'm just down to small, medium, larges. Right. Mm-hmm. Like my XLs, double XLs, triple XLs, because I work mostly in the Midwest. Those went real quick. And I even like bought more of those than the smaller sizes. But now I'm like pitching a shirt that half the audience can't fit into, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's going to take me a long time to
get through. Medium shirts. Like I have so many medium shirts.
Yeah.
Is that just like a dead size now?
I guess. I don't know. But koozies, man, koozies, one size fits all. It's cheap and easy. That's my tip to any comedian. I know a lot of people like to do stickers and pins, and I might experiment with that because it's so not expensive. It's pretty cheap.
So cheap, yeah.
But just because I personally don't put stickers on my laptops and stuff anymore, you know, I stopped doing that like basically around college or so. And then same thing, like I have pins that other comedians have given me that they made me take.
Yeah,
that are literally just in a drawer in my desk, like because I don't also put pens all over my shit. Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
Jonas for city council.
Yeah, so that's probably why he lost. Is that we all just took his pens, and stuck them in our desk drawers instead of wearing them around. But I don't know. Maybe that'll be the next thing for next year. If I can and aren't able to ramp up my touring again for next year, then I will maybe explore that, and we could talk about that as well. But yeah, Peter, we strongly advise against shirts and go with the koozie instead.
Yeah. Make it happen. I got one more thing that I am doing for myself. I've talked about this before, but for the next 10 days, I am on a personal challenge to book one show per day.
Mm-hmm.
So we will see how that goes. This will come out on 8/17. August 17th. So for the next 10 days, I'm going to try to book a show a day and then update you guys with the progress. If you would like to join that challenge with me through the tips you've learned through the podcast, please do. I'd love to hear results, but I'm in a place where the beginning of next year is starting to look a little light. So it's going to be a good jump start for me to sit down and actually try to book some stuff. So
I think it's a great idea. I like the challenge aspect of it. Yeah. I like the structure of it. I think that's great. I will join you in that challenge. I actually sent a bunch of avails today. Not a bunch, but basically because of my situation, like it was, you know, I had to look at a smaller circle essentially, like, okay, cities that are in a tighter, you know, location that to where I am than being able to go to Oklahoma or Tacoma or things like that. So I didn't send out a ton, but I was also changing up how I contacted people, you know, trying to keep it fresh. And so I'm with you, man. I would love to do the same thing. And my 2024. Oh yeah, it is wide open, baby. Someone who I knew pretty well. Here's my remaining 2023 avails. And then it's like 2024. I was like, literally anything you give me would work.
Yep. I love that. Yeah. The reason it's 10 days and not longer is because this is taxing. It's hard and you just run out of shit. So you don't, I don't want to just, I probably will for this, challenge sake, book some stuff that I don't want to do, but, I think that will get the juices flowing and get a bunch of my avails out there and force me to get off the schneid and back into the game.
There you go. I love it. Can I retroactively count one that I got yesterday?
Yes, always. Okay, if you book a show, let's say you sent avails last week and you book a show this week, that counts.
Okay, good. Yeah, I texted someone, I think on Monday, and then I booked it yesterday and then I got clarification on it today. So yeah. So, okay. I got one. I'm down. I've got one down.
Hell yeah. I love to see it. Love to see it. You guys should join. Also send questions, but I want to hear everybody's progress. Cause I want to know if, all the things that we're saying are actually doing good in the comedy world.
Yes, definitely. And so you can send your progress to mattanddwight@gmail.com, mattanddwight@gmail.com. That's also where you can send a question. We love questions of the week. Shout out to the anonymous person who sent in the question this week. First of all, thanks for giving us a question, but also chin up. You're going to get through it. Mm-hmm. Everybody has those lulls. You just shake it up a little bit. And, you know, maybe doing this challenge will help. Maybe stepping away from the stage for a little bit and focusing on the business side a little bit will be that break that you need. So let us know either way how it goes, or, you know, if you decide to quit comedy, let us know that too. And but until next time, this is Matt and Dwight. Just Might. Thank you for listening, everybody. We hardly ever say this, but, you know, if you want to rate and review and recommend the podcast to a friend, that would be dope. We don't really track a lot of that kind of stuff. We do this more out of the love than trying to become the next Joe Rogan or whatever. So we don't really look at the numbers that much, but it still would be cool if you do it, because the more people that we can reach, the more we can hopefully help, you know, get all the way to the middle of this business like Dwight and I have gotten.
The sweet spot. That's where you want to be, baby. Thank you guys so much for listening.